Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Saved Not Sauce. I'm your host, Emmy Moore, and what's going on, you guys? Back in my place, on my couch, very excited. I just been doing a lot, if you can't tell, and I'm super excited to be back in motion, and yeah, super excited for today. I feel like I say that every time. I do say that every time, but God is good, and we're just living in his goodness, you know? But if this is your first time, welcome to Saved Not Soft. I'm your host, Emmy Moore, and this is a Christian podcast, basically navigating the Christian lifestyle, because this is not an easy road, girly. This is hard. This is challenging. And when you confess your yes, what does that look like? When you're deciding to follow Jesus, what are you signing up for ultimately? And this is a podcast just navigating the Christian lifestyle, what it entails, especially from a woman's perspective, etc. Let me give you guys a little update. Oh, I've been everywhere. I went to Canada. I was in Ottawa, Canada this past week, and I led a women's conference. And if you weren't able to go, totally okay. I believe it's going to be first of many, I will say. But man, the way that God just like moved in that place was absolutely wild. I kid you not. That church, Bridge, Ottawa, I love you. I'm speechless. It was such an amazing experience from the leaders that were there, from every single person that I met, from the service, from the team, from everything, from how God was moving in that place. Like everything about that church just made my spirit so excited. And I just knew that the atmosphere was so pleasing to God. So first for many, but that church is a gem, and I will be returning soon in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, let's get into it. Today I want to talk about idols and how oftentimes we put second things first. And can I be real with y'all? Cause Emmy is very transparent. This is kind of one of those episodes that I'm kind of like to speak about. Not like I'm scared. The spirit of fear does not reside in me, but kind of more so on, I know I'm going to walk on people's toes, so pray for me. Because an idol is anything that's above the presence of God, right? And I think a lot of the times we realize that we're entertaining idols, or we don't realize we're entertaining idols as much as we think we are. And I want to talk about how Jesus needs to be our ultimate prize and our ultimate gaze and the thing that we seek first, always. And we're going to talk about that. And if you're a Christian, you need to hear this. If you have breath in your lungs, you need to hear this, because we are a human species that is built and made to worship. We're not made to worship objects, things, personalities, whatever it may be. We are made to worship God. And sometimes when we don't know that, we will get in the habit of worshiping other things and putting second things first. That's what we're talking about today. If you have a hard time seeking God and you feel like he's not answering a prayer, or you feel like he's not showing up in certain areas, it might be because you're putting second things first. We on the same page? Welcome back to the Solo Pod. What? I love solo podcasts. Okay, y'all. We're just going to pray and ask God to be here and move. And also, I didn't really have this plan. This was kind of something I was reading about on the way to Georgia, because I went to Georgia too. And I was like, man, this is really interesting. I should talk about this. And I'm going to keep it a buck. I just feel like God's going to snap on this. So we're just going to invite him into wherever you are, the listener, the person who's listening on the other side of the screen. We're going to invite God into the space so he can speak, so his presence is made known, because I sure as heck don't want to talk. I just want Jesus to do the whole thing. So let's pray, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for today, that there is breath in our lungs, that because we have a pulse, that means we have a purpose. Hey, thank you, Jesus. We are just coming to you in full gratitude and joy, saying thank you for giving us life, for giving us air in our lungs, for giving us health, for giving us everything that we may take for granted, Jesus. We just lift it up to you and we tell you thank you, Jesus. We give you a huge shout of praise and a huge shout of thanks, Jesus, here today. And as we go forward in this message, Father God, I first want to submit this platform to you, Jesus, that this is your platform. This is your microphone. This is your stage. This is your podcast, your word, your everything. Nothing is for me. It's not even my motivation. You give me the motivation, Father God. I just decree and declare in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, that you just fill every empty gap, that you are just exalted in every area, whether if it's my tongue, my confidence, the way that the word is being brought out. Father God, I just decree and declare in the mighty name of Jesus that your will is done. Father, I ask for your will to be done. I pull down every distraction and stronghold that casts itself up against the knowledge of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. I cast it down because the weapons you have given us are not carnal, but they are mighty through your spirit, Jesus. I thank you that you have equipped your sons and daughters with weapons that are effective. I just decree and declare in the mighty name of Jesus that we put on the full armor of God from the tops of our heads to the soles of our feet, that the blood of Yeshua covers us as we listen to these things, Father God. I pray that your word is freeing to our ears, Jesus, that every time your word is proclaimed, that chains break in the mighty name of Jesus. I just ask, Father God, that we come to this message listening to your word with open hearts, open eyes, open ears, open hands, open spirits, ready to receive your word, Jesus. And I just come against every attack of the enemy that's trying to distract this message or trying to come against it, whatever it may be. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail and that Jesus holds the keys to Hades, so that things of the wicked shall not prevail over this message of what you have in store for us today, Father God. So I just come into agreement with your goodness and what you're wanting to tell your children today, Jesus. I thank you that you are using me to spread your word, and that everyone who is listening to this podcast episode is here and it is set as a divine appointment for them to no longer come into agreement with their idols, but to come into agreement with your full righteousness and your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us mercy to hear things like this so we can follow your spirit. Give us protection, give us clarity, give us wisdom, and most of all, give us you. Give us Jesus. We want Jesus today. We want the gospel. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just operating. And I ask, Father God, that you give a visitation to those who are listening to this, whether if it's in their room, whether if it's at the gym, or if it's in their car, or if they're on a walk, Jesus, that there's protection over them no matter where they're at, that their ears are tuned to your word. And more importantly, that there is a peace that comes with hearing this here today, knowing that you are our prize, that you are the thing we shall always put first, and you are our ultimate God, our ultimate provider, Emmanuel, God who is with us. So we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, I seal this prayer. Amen. I randomly got filled with the Holy Ghost. I feel it. I don't know what's going to happen today, y'all. I just feel like I was going to do it. I don't know. I just feel like he's going to do it. We're going to talk about idols today. And man, who's ready for some chains to break? If you're at, let me get out of preacher mode, but let me get back into it real quick. If you're at your crib, if you're on a walk, if you're at the gym, if you're in your car, if you're cleaning your room and you're just cleaning and listening to this at the same time, I really do believe from the bottom of my soul someone's going to be freed from this. I like feel the fire of God on this, Jesus. Okay, Jesus. Contain my excitement. I am really excited though. I just feel like he's going to do something super awesome. Oh my goodness. I went on my Instagram a few days ago and I started talking about idols and how we need to take the Bible a lot more seriously. And it kind of blew up as it should, but it's not because it was my wisdom. It's because this is what the Lord has been telling us since the beginning of time, is that people don't take God seriously. And when people don't take God seriously, they'll take other things seriously instead. And I think a lot of the times we'll say yes and we'll confess our yes to Jesus, but yet we still are confessing our yes to lust or to tarot card reading or to overeating or indulging in pride thinking or behavior or being angry and full of rage and full of depression and sadness. We'll confess our yes to Jesus, but we'll still marry the voices that are filled with the demonic devices of the underworld. Does that make sense? And I think when we don't understand our subconscious actions of putting second things first, it could put us in a really dangerous position of idolizing things that are never close and can never compare to the goodness of God. And one thing about idols is that, well, let me just tell you what an idol is. An idol is anything above the presence of God. And an idol is also something that will always lead you to disappointment. Right? I can't tell you how many times I tried doing something thinking that it was helping me and fixing me, but it was throwing me into corruption. This is just a part of my testimony, but I smoked for 4 years. It was probably one of the worst things I did for my health, for my body, for my mind. I think I'm still recovering from the lost brain cells from the amount of nicotine that I smoked. But here's the thing, the reason as to why I smoked so much nicotine was because I had a legitimate need and I went about it in an illegitimate manner. What does that mean, Emmy? I wanted to be heard, seen, and loved. I was full of rage. I was depressed. I was anxious. And the only thing that can numb me of that feeling was waking up in the middle of the night and hearing my low. That was it. That was my suppressant. That was my idol. That was something I worshipped above the presence of God. And this was, I was still smoking the first year of me being a so-called Christian. And I had to learn that I was building altars and golden calves of things that would never fulfill me and things that would never satisfy. And maybe you don't smoke, or maybe you don't drink or party or do any of the things that are super bad or super demonic. But even if you go to your friend first before you go to God, that's an idol. Even if you go to the gym more than you seek the presence of God, your gym is an idol. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a difference between something being good and something being God. And I want to just come against every single golden calf we've made in our lives, send it to the pits of hell, and put God back on the throne that he truly sits at. Because that's where he stays, right? So when I think of idols, keep in mind, y'all, I didn't really have this plan out. I'm just letting Holy Spirit talk. But when I think of idols, I think of the golden calf in Exodus 32. What basically had happened was the Israelites were just delivered out of Egypt. Moses took them out. And now they're wondering. Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get instruction from God. And the Israelites are like, bruh, you are taking a minute up there. And I don't even think it was that long, like it wasn't years or anything like that. They were like, this man is taking so long to speak to God, so we're gonna make this thing thinking that it's gonna glorify you, God, because we can't wait on you no longer, right? So what ended up happening was, because the Israelites, God's people, couldn't wait on God, they made their own gods. And what's so sick about the gods that what's so sick about the golden calf that the Israelites made is that they made it thinking that it was pleasing to God. I am coming for y'all next today. Not me. I feel the Holy Spirit is just gonna, hold on, let me stop. Here's the thing. We do the same thing with our lives. We will entertain this relationship thinking that's glorifying God. We will read our zodiac signs in our daily horoscope thinking that's glorifying God. You will eat something that you know you're not supposed to eat, that you're deficient in, that you're not supposed to eat. It's bad for your health, thinking that it's gonna please God, but it's pleasing nobody but you. If anything, it's actually making God angry. So these Israelites made the golden calf thinking that they were going to be blessing God with it. But God was actually telling Moses, you need to go back down to your people because they are making false gods because they can't wait for what's going on right here. Moses storms down with anger. He throws the tablets. He's all mad and stuff. And he's like, what are you guys doing? Aaron made this golden calf and the people took off their jewelry to make it. And we do the same thing when we don't want to wait on God. Can I be the first to admit that? There have been so many times. I'm not sitting here not talking from personal experience. There's been plenty of times where I've gone about my life and I was like, you know what? I think this is the best thing for me. And I put myself through a lot of trouble and a lot of hassle just to get to this one thing, make an idol out of it, just for it to not serve me. just for it to not serve me. Why? Because we lack patience. Because the human species desperately needs Jesus. And when we don't understand that we need Jesus, we will try to find our purpose in other things. That's what an idol is. An idol is anything outside of the presence of God. And that's exactly what the Israelites did when they constructed a golden calf, is that they made a golden calf because they couldn't wait on the Lord. They were worshiping to it. They were having, I believe so, they were doing like orgies and having a whole bunch of weird stuff that was like not okay. But it's because they couldn't wait on the Lord and they needed to feel that satisfaction. They wanted to be filled, but because they had a lack of faith, and because they had a huge lack of patience, they turned to other things that would never satisfy them. So my question that I want to prompt on this fine little day is, what golden calf have you made in your life? Oftentimes we can make golden calves of men, golden calves of persona, golden calves of, what is the word I'm looking for? Identity, golden calves of whatever it may be. What is the golden calf you have built in your life that is coming in between the presence of you and God? And kind of sit with that. I know that's an intense question, but God cannot heal what you don't reveal, okay? And we got to bring these, I want to encourage you real quick. We have to bring these things to the light, y'all. And you got to be honest with God. God encourages us. I was reading this morning. I was reading about the woman who touched Jesus's cloak out of faith. And one of the things that was said in scripture is that whenever he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" He knew it was her, but she came forward, and it says in scripture that she told him the whole truth, meaning that when we come to God, we're needing to tell him the whole truth, okay? So no matter what golden calf you have built, God already knows this. It's just a matter of us admitting it. Tell the whole truth, okay? That's my encouragement, because God is going to honor your honesty. God's going to honor your honesty. Let's be honest with God real quick. What are you putting before the cross? What are you putting before his presence? I want to give you some context before I get into this story, because we'll distance ourselves from God, whether if it's acknowledging it or not. It could be subconscious or intentional. We distance ourselves from God, and it may look like anything. It could be intentional, not intentional. Like how I just said, I just went in a full circle. What was I going to say? I remember what I was going to say. Is the golden calves that we make of men are dangerous. We know this. And I want to give a different perspective and come against every single ounce of pride that says, you know what? I don't got an idol. I don't got this. I don't got that. Because your idol might just be your pride, or it might just be the way that you look at things, or an idol that you might have is an idea of who you think God is, but it's not him. Let me tell you something that the Lord convicted me of last week. God asked me, he said, "Do you believe in me, or do you believe in the idea of me?" Those are two completely different things, because what believing in God looks like is believing in what the scripture says about him. And an idol is anything that's above the presence of God, of who he really is. And when God asked me that question, I was like, man, that's really crazy, because I noticed at times, let me just being transparent about what was an idol, I didn't even realize it, is that I would fantasize a version of God out of my own perception of goodness and believed that version of him rather than who he actually was. And because of that, I was worshiping an idol, because I was worshiping something outside of the presence of God. So once you identify what that golden calf is, know who Jesus really is, know who God really is. God is revealed to us in the scriptures. You want truth? It's in a book. It's in 66 chapters, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of words written of the character of who God is. And a lot of the times I realized that I was relying on a God that I know God, But sometimes I would exercise my thinking to where it was outside of him. I was believing something else that wasn't God's characteristics. Does that make sense? And I think it takes a lot of humility to look at the things you've built in your life and see, okay, do I really believe in God, or do I really just want him to bless me? Do I really believe in God, or do I really just want his promises, right? Like, that was an idol. I didn't realize that an idol in my life was putting the promises of God over his presence. And God convicted me of that a few weeks ago. And he told me, he said, Emmy, you have to be so much more infatuated with me than you are with your assignment. Because our assignment is to run, but the prize is Jesus. Are you guys catching what I'm throwing? Does this make sense? So I just kind of want to throw that in there, because that was my personal conviction, is that, dang, I realized that I was putting the promise above the presence. And God doesn't promise me just to be a mom or to be a wife or to be a ministry leader, which are all things that are cool and amazing, but that's not my prize. My prize is Jesus, and anything outside of his presence is an idol. So where does your mind gravitate to the most? And what are you putting above the presence of God? Think about it. I'm going to give some scripture to this. And this is what I was reading about last week that really just, so interesting. And it's, I've been reading through 1 Samuel because I'm just really interested in Saul and David and Prophet Samuel and all these things. But the story of Saul is very interesting. A number of reasons. Saul was the king of Israel. Okay, wait, let's start from the beginning. Saul was a king of Israel, and he was a man who feared the Lord. And then over time, because of his rebellion and because of his rejection of God, the spirit actually left him. The spirit of the Lord actually left Saul because Saul was denying God that much out of rebellion and rejection. So where I'm reading from today is 1 Samuel 15. And it's a very funny, strange encounter. But the reason as to why I'm bringing this up is because Saul was trying to find God solutions in things that weren't God. And I'm going to give a little more context. Like how I said, the Spirit of the Lord left Saul because Saul was acting in rebellion and rejection. 1 Samuel 15, 10 through 11 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, 'I regret that I have made Samuel king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions.' Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night." That's the Lord telling Samuel that he regretted making him king because Saul was not being obedient. He was acting in rebellion. He was falling short, like falling way short in iniquity. Here's the thing. The reason as to why the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, one, because he was being rebellious, and two, he was completely rejecting God as a whole. But Saul knew God and rejected him. Do you get what I'm saying? I think sometimes we'll see people just reject God, but they don't know God. But when you know God and you reject him, oh, I just know my father's heart breaks. Do you get what I'm saying? And Samuel was a prophet. Let me talk about this real quick. So Samuel was a prophet. And what a prophet is that a prophet communicates on the behalf of God. And when you talk about the fivefold ministry, there's order in ministry when it comes to the church. You have the church as a whole, so it's everybody in a body. And then there's orders and officiants of the church, right? So it's apostles, prophets, and I believe pastors, evangelists, and teachers. That's the order of it. Prophets are right below apostles, meaning that prophets, they pretty up there when it comes to spiritual order. They are communicating on the behalf of God. That was Samuel's job, right? So Samuel has pretty much direct communication with the Lord, if this makes sense. So 1 Samuel 15:23, This is Samuel speaking to Saul, and he says, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. But because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." This is where Saul's at right now. Saul was completely rejected by God. Why? Because Saul was arrogant. And why is this an issue? It says, Samuel just said it. Arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Arrogance was Saul's idol. He was arrogant, he was prideful, he was stubborn, he relied on his own thinking that the Lord let him go about his own sinful, prideful thinking, and it led to the Spirit of the Lord ultimately leaving and departing from Samuel, which happens from in 1 Samuel 16, the next chapter. But it's because of his own disobedience. Saul turned to his own pride, his own understanding, and his rebellion, and the Lord let him. Like, you can't be mad at God because Saul got exactly what he signed up for. And I think sometimes we'll look at Bible stories and be like, dang, why did God do that? But God didn't do anything. If anything, God just let Saul exercise his free will. It's simply that. Saul rejected God after knowing him. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemous. He rejected God. And because of that, God departed from him. So where are we at now in the story? We are now at 1 Samuel 28. That is where we're at now. And this encounter is Saul encountering a witch. Uh-oh. A little witchy witch. Why did I say it like that? But a little witch. Why? Because Saul was trying to find God in worldly things. I'm going to read you guys a story. We're going to chop it up. And yeah, we're just going to talk about it. So picking up, I believe, in verse 3. Now Samuel was dead. Oh yeah, let's start off with that. Pause. Samuel, the prophet, died. He died. Saul was still living. So the prophet that was communicating on the behalf of God, he ended up passing away. Okay? That's what we start off with. So now Samuel was dead, and all of Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritualists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all of Israel and set camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw that the Philistine army, the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by his dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritualists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom should I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground and Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and became your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because of the because you did not obey the Lord and carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give you an army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell full length onto the ground, filled with fear, because of Samuel's words, his strength was gone, for he had eaten that day nothing that day, all day and night. Sorry for the stuttering. That's just a long passage, and I realized I never said it out loud. So sorry for the stuttering. So many things just happened. Okay. Let's emmy-fy it. Let's just chop it down, paraphrase it real quick, okay? The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Saul tries praying and crying out to God, and he's not answering. Why? Because God departed from Saul because of Saul's disobedience and because of his rebellion and his rejection against God. So because of that, Saul was trying to find God in worldly things and things that don't please God. So how did he do that? He went to a witch. What did this witch do? This witch was a medium, and what a medium is that a medium has a specialty with communicating with the deceased, with the dead, right? And the Bible talks about not communicating with the dead. We'll be with that in just a second. Anyways, the witch calls forth the prophet Samuel, who is deceased, and Samuel tells Saul pretty much that he's going to die the next day because of his disobedience, right? Crazy. This left Saul in great trembling fear, because the thing that he was then following, his arrogance, his pride, the thing that he made his idol, is the very thing that is going to lead him to his death. Can we learn something today? The very thing that you may be praising before God might be the very thing that's leading you to spiritual death. The very thing that you are idolizing, the golden calves of men, the golden calves of objects, the golden calves of fame, and of the golden calves of, what is the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for a word that's like, not persona, like status. There we go. The golden calf of status you may have for man, whatever it may be, might be the very thing that leads you to spiritual suicide. Why? Because an idol is anything that you put before the presence of God, and an idol will always disappoint you. Why? Because an idol is something that's trying to be God, but it will never be God. Jesus says that through him, he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one could see the Father unless if it's through Jesus, right? We know this because of scripture. You can't gain the prize of Jesus. You can't gain the prize of heaven and of eternal life if you're running the race with golden calves of things that will never inherit, that will never give you the inheritance to heaven, that will never give you the promise of God, because you're trying to run a race with the prize of Jesus, but you're listening to a coach of zodiac signs, of witchcraft, of pride, whatever it may be. Do you understand? Are you catching what I'm throwing? What I'm trying to say is you can't serve two gods. You can't. You can't be acknowledging it. You can't be intentionally arrogant and pursuing the things of God at the same time. You can't worship your zodiac sign and pursue the things of God at the same time. You can't do a tarot card reading and praise God at the same time. You can't praise more than one God. There's one. There's one. And can I be honest here today, church? Church, yes, because this is a church, you're a part of the body. Can I be so honest about something today? I'm sick and tired of people who profess themselves to be Christians, and I see one day that they're praising God on a Sunday, but next day they're posting for the simple matter of the fact that they're an Aries, or that they're a Leo, or that they're a Virgo. You can't praise both gods. Pick one. Pick one. What is your golden calf? Some of your golden calves looks like a scorpion sign. Some of your golden calves looks like a Sagittarius sign. Some of your golden calves looks like a tarot card. Some of your golden calves looks like a person. It looks like a relationship. It looks like an ex. It looks like a fantasy. It looks like a dream. It looks like something outside of the presence of God. What is it? What is it? You need to set that thing on fire today, Jesus. and send it to the piss of hell. Because let me tell you something. If eternity was on the line and if you knew that one thing could get in between you and your relationship with God, what would you do with it right now in this instant? What if I told you that it's a lot deeper than you think it is? What if I told you that God wants you to take your life and your walk with him very seriously? And we can't allow the golden calves of men, the things that we put as idols, to dictate our position that we're supposed to rightfully have with the Lord. Make your choice. Who are you going to worship? And who have you been worshiping? We got to talk about this today. Because why? God is way too good, too loving, too merciful, and too gracious for us to worship other things. Do you understand that the Lord's heart breaks over these things? That he wants, the Bible says that we are the Lord's most glorious, most greatest inheritance, meaning that when he looks at us, he is joyful with creation. God created us and he said that it was good. In Genesis 1, it tells us that God created things, and not only that he's a creator, but he's also a creator that finds things good. Not only that he's a creator, but he creates things that are good, and he found us to be very, very good. So when his creation that he counts as very, very good are going about things and worshiping things that are very, very bad, you don't think that breaks his heart? I'm not just sitting here saying kill your golden calf or kill your idols because I hate you. It's actually because I really love God. But even more than me loving God, God loves you so, so much that there shall be nothing else that comes against the presence of who he is. And we're actively breaking his heart by choosing things outside of him. It could be anything. Whatever you know that you're not supposed to do, why you keep doing it? Why you keep doing it? Why you keep having sex knowing dang well? Why you keep watching porn dang well knowing? Why do you keep masturbating knowing dang well? It's not because you're horny. It's actually because you feel lonely. It's actually because you don't feel heard, seen, or loved. Maybe you're not horny. Maybe you just need some real love. Where can you find that? The Father. What golden calf do you have? Who do you keep turning to when you feel not heard, seen, and loved? What is the thing you're worshiping? And I'm not coming here to judge. I'm coming as an authoritative figure in the spirit to tell you, sons and daughters, that this thing has no room and no permission to dictate your life. None. And if you want to go about it and keep going about your own ways and having sex with your boyfriend and doing wife things in the girlfriend stage and hanging out with people you're not supposed to hang out with or smoking these things, drinking these things, clubbing with these people, whatever it may be my guest. You could do what you please. Please understand, though, those things will never satisfy the thing that only God could fill. I've tried everything. This is just my testimony. I've tried everything. I've tried the partying. I tried the drinking. I tried the boys. I tried everything you could think of on the book, and never filled me. Why? Because I was looking for God in things that weren't God. And I realized that the hole that was in my heart, only God could fill it. And he was able to fill it once I said no to my idols and I put it at his feet. In order for you to gain something, you got to let go of something. Maybe God's not giving you the thing that you're asking for because your hands are occupied with golden calves. You got to leave him at his feet. He wants to give you something. He wants to give you something. The Bible says in Matthew 7 that he says, even though you are evil, you give good gifts. How much more shall your Father in heaven give you really good gifts? God wants to give you a good gift. Can I say an amen? God wants to give you a really good gift. And because of idolatry and because we're putting things above the presence of God, even little things, it gets in the way of the blessing that's supposed to fall into our lap. And the biggest blessing is the presence of God, is knowing his mysteries, is understanding his character, is knowing who my Father is. Your idol can get in the way of that. This is crucial. We have to talk about this, y'all. And this isn't just the, oh, I'm going to preach about this once. Like, think about it. Every day when you wake up and you confess your yes, are you seeking Jesus or are you seeking other things? You know? You got to put him first. You got to put him first. So, few points that I put on the story I saw. First one, which I feel like I chopped it up quite a lot, is Saul was looking for answers outside of God's presence through other things. The answers to his problems was to seek the Lord in the first place. But he didn't do that. We'll try to go about our own strength, our own power. Because here's the thing, we'll try to go about things in our own power and our own strength. They'll never fulfill us because we're not made strong and powerful. God is. And the whole reason as to why we're strong and we're powerful is because of the Spirit of the Lord. So just know that if you want to encounter that strength and that power, God edifies that strength because it's His Spirit who's behind it. And then the other thing I want to talk about, which I'm really excited to talk about this, is it's funny how Saul went to a medium and the spirit of, or prophet Samuel, who was dead, came through and spoke to Saul, right? Sorry, I had to inhale and I didn't want to do that in the mic. But I want to say something, okay? Because there's a lot of people who aren't a new age. They love their crystals. They love their, what's that crystal I'm thinking of? Is white. They love their opal. Is it opal? I don't know. They love their sapphire, whatever it may be. There's people who really do believe that the crystals that they have is giving them healing and it's lessening their anxiety and they're not as depressive, or that it's giving them happiness, or tarot card readings that they work, or a Ouija board. They are communicating to you your future. I want to tell you something right now. They're actually right. Not that they're right. They work. Not that they're correct. Let me reemphasize that. The thing, like these crystals, these tarot cards, these Ouija boards that people are like, dang, like it's been working for me. I have this little sapphire and it brings me happiness. It doesn't give me depression. And I hold on to this rock if I keep it in my pocket all day. Or if I keep my, what is that rose stone? And it just, rose quartz. There we go. If I keep my rose quartz on me, then my boyfriend just loves me even more. Those things actually do work. Please stay and hear the second part. Witchcraft works, but it's not God. Can I get something very, very clear? Zodiac signs work, witchcraft works, mediums work. The spiritual realm is very, very real. The things that you've encountered with these spiritual devices, whatever it may be, these things actually work. It all works. But here's the thing. It's evil. Why? Because when you involve yourself in spiritual practices outside of the presence of God, that means that you're also actively communicating with things outside of the presence of God. Just like Saul. Saul was trying to talk to God and he did it through a witch. He did it through a medium. Okay? And it worked. It doesn't mean that it was God though. This is why you'll see a lot of people who operate in the spiritual realm and they say like they're mediums. Oh, I could talk to dead people and all these things. And it's like, they're not actually talking to dead people. They're just talking about demons. They're just talking about demons who know things about the dead person. God can only give you all the answers. Everything else is a demonic device. Everything else. Witchcraft works. It works, but it's evil. It's evil. It's absolutely evil because it's something operating outside of the presence of God to give you an answer that is not godly. It's idolatry. You're going to something else besides God. You're worshiping another Lord. Emmy, you just can't be saying that. It says that in the Bible. Leviticus 19:31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 26. I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritualists who prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people. Do you understand? When you partake in witchcraft, you are prostituting yourself to the demon behind it. It's sick. Even if you even if you believed in a zodiac sign, whatever it may be. And let me tell you something about zodiac signs. The reason as to why your zodiac sign is so true, and you're like, dang, well, every time I read that I'm a Leo, it just makes a lot of sense. Or every time, you know, I read my Aries moon chart or whatever it may be, it makes a lot of sense. It's not because you're an Aries. It's because you've associated yourself with that demon and it's manifesting inside of you. That's what it is. That's all that it is. Your identity is found in God. If your identity is found in God, why do you have to look to zodiac signs? Because it's something trying to come in between you and the presence of God, which means it's an idol. It's an idol. If you believe anything in your zodiac sign, it may not be that you're actually that zodiac sign. It's actually manifesting because you came into agreement with it. Does that make sense? Does this make sense? So when you're partaking in these zodiac signs, like, they got a name for a reason. It's because you're assigning yourself to the demon and the spirit that's behind it. That's witchcraft. Even an Enneagram. Uh-oh, y'all not gonna like me about the Enneagram because it's super popular in Christian culture. And I love Jackie Hill Perry and she talks about Enneagram stuff. And I love her. I love her so much. But I just know that's one of the Christians that came to the top of my mind that talks about Enneagram stuff. That's still associating yourself with an identity that's outside of the presence of God. Who is God? And are you obeying him? And are you truly worshiping him? Because all these spiritual hoodoo hada stuff, it works, but it's not God. It's not God. I think people forget that the devil works hard too. Just because it came at your feet doesn't mean that it's God. Let me give you the most practical example. Have you ever met someone or you've been in a relationship with someone and you just felt like the devil himself made a contract and sent that man or that woman to you? Do you get what I'm saying? The Lord is not the only person who can send people. Ephesians 6 says that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but is against strongholds, principalities of the spiritual dark realm, right? We know this. This is what scripture tells us. So we know that the spiritual darkness is strong. It's not stronger than God, but it's nothing that we could defeat on ourselves, obviously, because Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? That's evidence within itself. These demonic devices are operating on illegal activity here on the earth realm to try to ruin your purpose and your identity as a son or daughter with Christ. So just like how God can send people, the enemy can too. Here's the difference between Satan and the Lord. Satan can't win. He can't win because he can't change God. Satan already lost. He's so mad he's trying to bring down all of God's people. But Satan already lost. It's just more of, who are you coming into agreement with? Satan or God? The enemy or Jesus? Who are you coming into agreement with? Because when you're worshiping idols and you're making golden calves of things and you're coming into agreement with witchcraft, zodiac signs, your Enneagram, things that are not of God, you are coming into agreement with things that are not of him. And anything that's apart from him is darkness, which belongs to Satan. So whose kid are you? I know this is intense, but it's mercy that some of you guys are hearing this because some of you guys have not realized that the enemy has had you on a leash. And today you get to bring out a big old machete and chop that thing off because you do not belong to Satan. Romans 8 says that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we are no longer slaves to sin when we choose Jesus to be our redeemer. This is it. So if there's something that's been throwing you into iniquity and into bondage, I want to give you full spiritual freedom to, first of all, repent. To repent, Lord, I am sorry that I have turned to these things instead of you, Jesus, that I was seeking these things instead of your face. You repent, You rebuke it. You send it to the pits of hell that shall never return or transfer onto anyone or anything else in the mighty name of Jesus. And you refill yourself with the word of God. Why? Because God is the most satisfying. And how can we not put him first? Change your perspective. Keep your eyes on the prize. Your prize isn't the things of this world. It's not the treasures here on earth. It's the treasures of heaven. It's the kingdom. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, but first seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. It doesn't say, but first seek the avoidance of your problems, or first seek your zodiac sign, or first seek your purpose. It says, but first seek his kingdom. You're first seeking him. Him. You're seeking Jesus. And we lose the sight of the prize when we're focused on making golden calves of other things that will never satisfy us. You are satisfied when you keep your eyes on El Shaddai, Emmanuel, God who is with us. That is how you gain eternal life. It's not the promises, it's the presence. It's his face. That's how you gain satisfaction and you gain overall happiness. If you have a legitimate need and you felt empty and you felt discouraged your whole life, I kid you not, the only way you can find it is through Jesus. It is the only way. I've tried everything. This is the reason as to why people do things over and over and over, and why it's called habitual sin for a reason, and why people have addictive personalities is because people keep going back to things over and over and over again because it's not satisfying them the first time nor the second time. So it's a cycle of things happening because you're going to things that will never fully satisfy you when there's living everlasting water right in front of you that you could drink from, water that will never run dry. And these golden calves of things that we are making are things that are leaving God's people dry, and it's throwing God's people into corruption. And today is the day where God is saying, girl, no more. We're done. We're done. Throw the idols into the furnace. That's it. Your answers are found in Jesus. Matthew 7:7, ask and shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask and you shall receive. Maybe you're asking the wrong things. Maybe that's why things aren't working out the way that it needs to be, because you're asking the wrong things. You're needing God to intercede on your life, not your friends. Your friends could be a great help, but sometimes we'll turn to our friends more than we turn to God. Something happens, you go straight to your friends. What happened to Jesus? You forgot about him? Run to Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. When I went to Canada this past week, that's what I preached on, because the Lord has been putting a huge emphasis on my heart. Is he's been saying, Emmy, people are trying to do the things of God without doing the fundamentals. It all starts with fixing your eyes on Jesus, running the good race, because the Lord is my trophy. He is my coach, and he's my daddy in the stands cheering me on. That's who our God is. And once you lose sight of that, who are you running for? Who are you running for? Hebrews 12 says that he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, meaning that he's touched the places that you haven't touched yet. So you could walk forward in faith, in perseverance, knowing that you could touch the things of God when you follow his footsteps, because he's already been there. He's already walked it before you. You're safe with the Lord. He is righteous. He is a healer. Jesus, that's just you, God. You're just so good. And how is it that we try to find your goodness in other things? I just think my urgency to this message and the application is to repent. I mean, that's like in the Gospels, that's like the first thing. I believe it's in Matthew chapter 3. That's the first thing Jesus is talking about, is repentance. Repent. And repentance isn't just, hey God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. It's a two-step process. Repentance is first asking for forgiveness and acknowledging what you've done and turning away from it. And I heard Jerry Flowers Jr. say it the best, and I'm gonna try my best not to butcher it. Repentance is Repentance is chopping off the tree of your iniquity and begging God to uproot you from the roots of it. Does this make sense? That's not what he said word for word. No, I feel like I butchered it. Something among those lines. I gotta find it so I can say it again. But repentance, seeking the Lord's face, repent, rebuke, replace. That's gonna get you into the position that you need to with God. Let me give you an example. If you're like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Whatever your idol is right now, whatever you're struggling with that you know doesn't please God, let's just do this together. We're going to say this together. I'm going to leave a blank space for you to say it. Declare this out loud so the courts of heaven and every spiritual creature on this earth and in heaven and in the spiritual realm can hear your declaration. Okay? My God, please. Okay. Repeat after me. Okay, we're just going to do this together. My God, please forgive me. I am so sorry for operating in disobedience. I repent for involving myself in blank. As I repent and I ask for your forgiveness, Jesus, I decree and declare in the mighty name of Jesus that blank, the thing that you're dealing with, that the spirit of it is sent to the pits of hell and it shall not return or transfer to me, to my family members, to my friends, onto anyone, or to anything. That because I have repented from it, I ask God that you uproot me from my iniquity, that it is thrown into the abyss, into the pit of hell. And I rebuke every spirit that was attached to it. And now because it is gone, I command your joy and liberty and peace, your goodness and wisdom to be my portion and to fill me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I just proclaim and decree the blood of Jesus to cover me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I seal this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of y'all feel free. I have a feeling. Something happened. I just feel it. I just feel it. Something happened. Something happened today. Something happened today. Jesus, I'm already picking it up in the spirit. Something happened in Jesus' mighty name. Stop putting second things first. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things shall be given unto you. How bad do you want God? Ask him to give you clarity and revelance of what those things are, so you come out of agreement with them, rip up the contract, and keep coming back into agreement with who Jesus is. And that's that. And that is that, in Jesus' name. And I'm gonna go about these announcements super quick and get it crack-a-lackin'. Also, dang, I didn't realize my knee was up there the whole time. It hurts. Okay, a few things. Defect drop drops this Thursday, May 1st. There's only about 20 tees. If you don't know about it, check the Instagram. It's the Save Not Soft Tees. We will be doing a restock, but if it's outside of your budget and you want a Save Not Soft Tee that kind of has some stains and writing and just defect tees for $20, that's going to happen this Thursday at 12 p.m. PST time. If this episode has blessed you, if you need prayer requests, there's a link down below. If you feel led to tithe towards this ministry, there's also a separate link. And if you don't, please pray. Like, please really pray. That's it. I need prayers more than y'all money, I promise. But if you feel led to tithe towards this ministry, just so everything's up and running and going, there's a link down below. And more importantly, I want to encourage you guys to just pray. Just pray. Whether if it's for this ministry, just get in the presence of God. Pray for your enemies. Pray for your family. Pray over yourself. Ask God to reveal the things of your heart that he is no longer wanting up in there anymore. Because God's wanting to transform you, Ms. Girly. And he's going to do it. You just got to give him permission. So I feel really blessed from this episode. I feel good. I feel like God did his thing. I feel like he swagged. I can't wait to listen to it. But you are loved, seen, and heard. God loves you, so do I. But if I love you that much, how much more does God? You are heard, seen, and loved by the Almighty, by El Shaddai, by the God who reigns. And walk in wisdom, knowing that you are free and that God has called you higher. touch and agree with it. I love you guys. I'll see you 2 weeks from now. God bless. Get in his word. Seek his presence. And you shall be blessed. Love you guys. Bye-bye.